Hey everyone, it's Stacey Lucas. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Quo. If this is your first time with me, welcome. If it's not, also welcome. So on this podcast, we talk about three sort of themes, if you will. When I started this podcast almost 2 years ago, one of the things that was important to me was to have sort of this consistency so that you wouldn't feel like every episode was this one-off event. And so the three things I talk about pretty consistently, dressed up in many different ways, are these concepts of one, sort of redefining success based on your own terms, but also the season of life that you're in. Living authentically, no matter what season that you're in. A lot of us, a lot of my listeners, like myself, are in midlife, but we are also in the sandwich generation, which is sort of sandwiched between taking care of ourselves and coming up on the fact that soon we can retire. Okay, fine, not soon. But like, we can smell it, right, guys? And then on the other end of that, we have these young adults or kids that we're taking care of because we had kids later on in life. But then our parents, for many of us, are aging and ailing and coming up in seasons where they need us to sort of step in and take care of them. And so there's that tension. And then the third thing I talk about is this concept of leading courageously. And not only leading yourself courageously and all of the things, the sometimes hard and messy things that that entails, but also sort of being that role model and example of changing your status quo, leading those closest to you, your inner circle or your family or whatever, leading your community and then the spaces that you're in. So that's it. That's what I do in a nutshell. So today, as I thought about what to bring to your attention and sort of help not only you muddle through, but certainly myself, is, you know, I have teenagers. If you've listened to me enough, you know that's something I talk about pretty consistently. I've got a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old, and they're home for the summer, and I found myself arguing with them over mundane stuff, you know, stuff that in hindsight, I'm like, why am I even like bothering to get so worked up about? And I had dinner with some friends who are also my age and also have kids in the same age group. And we've known each other for quite a long time. So we've sort of gone through seasons with each other. And there was this real vulnerable period where, you know, in between the food high kicking in and the martini kicking in, we talked about, you know, what are we really struggling with our kids? Like, what's the real struggle in a way that maybe we had not conceptualized it before? And so I want to sort of pose the question that made not only us uncomfortable, but it may make some of you uncomfortable, which is if the greatest gift that we ever gave our children is this sort of world and the opportunities that we never had, has some of it become, to some extent, their greatest disadvantage, right? And so if our generation, and I'm Gen X, I'm on the cusp of Gen X, so a lot of, sometimes I feel very millennial, I feel Gen Y, whatever, but I think that our generation, for the most part, right, spent decades trying to build lives we never had. If you are an immigrant like myself, grew up in a different country and came here, the main driving force of our life, and I think any parent's life, is really to give your children, our children, the opportunities we never had. Whether it's safer neighborhoods or better schools or vacations or technology or experiences or confidence or choice. And many of us, for the most part, have succeeded. Phenomenally so. And I think we're still quietly asking ourselves, did we accidentally maybe remove some of the very things that built us, that gave us this, the things that we have now? And I'm not talking about trauma, and I'm not talking about hardships. You know, I'm not talking about those things, right? The burden of maybe if you came here, like myself, with like half a suitcase 30 years ago to America, the surviving. I'm talking about the other things, right? The concept of baking into their psyche and their character resilience and resourcefulness and patience and gratitude and honestly the ability to just be uncomfortable, right? And don't get me wrong, nothing about this conversation is going to be criticizing the next generation. I am doing this so that we can begin to peel back some of our own, honestly, maybe subconscious biases or judgments against what we feel they should be doing. And I think it's about whether, this really is about whether asking if being successful at a parent in this season, being authentic, leading courageously, redefining what a successful parent looks like and leader, as we are leading them, means that we have to parent differently than we were parented, right? And so the big question I want us to chew on is, how do we raise resilient young adults when we've spent, some of us, our entire life trying to make sure that they never had to struggle the way that we did? And why does this matter, right? So I think that, I'm sure you've had this conversation, every generation reacts to the one before it, right? The silent generation survived the boomers. The boomers built. I think Gen X adapted. I think millennials questioned. Gen Z is redefining. And I think each generation is going to swing the pendulum. And the question isn't whether the pendulum moves. That is going to happen. It's whether maybe sometimes it's swung too far. And so this is where I want us to sort of sit with a little bit. And I did some research because, like I said, I don't like to just come up here and be like, oh, and that one time in band camp, again, if you don't know that reference, probably not the podcast for you. But so research shows us some things, right? One, our children are safer than ever, but more anxious than ever. And I think this is a paradox. And there's this researcher, I may screw this name up. It's Hyde. Oh my God. Yeah. So this researcher, my apologies for screwing up your name. She explores this concept of the anxious generation. And so for the past few decades, myself included, we have dramatically increased the supervision of our children in the physical world. You got Life 360, we've got phones. I know people that throw little iPod tracking devices in their kids when they don't even know. And so I think children have less of what we had. A couple of things, less unsupervised play, fewer opportunities to solve problems on their own, less independence, certainly less opportunities to experience conflict and work through it in their friends group. One kid is in college and one is in high school, and the parental chats kill me, these forums, because it's like there is no, there is no way my parents were asking some of these questions on behalf of me at any point in time. And so I think there's fewer chances for our kids, our young adults, to experience what I consider manageable risk, right? Manageable risk. And so I think the other part of that, the most shocking part of that, not even surprising, is that the anxiety, depression, and loneliness has significantly risen amongst adolescents, particularly after the early 2010s. So here we are, we spent decades trying to make childhood physically safer. At the same time, many of our children, the youth that we're seeing, have become emotionally less prepared for what we sort of had to do, which was thrive, survive, navigate uncertainty. And so I think it led me down the road of, okay, well, what happened, right? Like, let's go further. One, I think play, whatever your concept of play is, and a lot of us didn't have time to play. I was talking to my husband this morning about this episode. And one of this researcher's, her biggest argument is that free play isn't just recreation. It's training. And I love that concept. So I was like, well, what does that mean? Okay, children learn to, and I mentioned it a little bit ago, navigate conflict, assess risk, recover after mistakes, regulate emotions, solve problems without adults. I think we are in a generation that consistently intervenes. We consistently intervenes, and our children, our young adults, lose opportunities to build these skills naturally. You know, there have been so many groups where if there's a roommate issue in college or something like that, the moms are negotiating, the moms are getting involved with the teachers, they're coddling. And yes, I use that word deliberately. I do it myself. Not as much. Maybe not as much. But a part of this is letting them have the opportunity to build that confidence, right? Like, we can't give our children confidence. Confidence is going to be something that they earn. every single time they solve a problem that we didn't solve for them. I get super irritated with Kevin, my husband, sometimes when he says, figure it out to my kids. And in my mind, I'm like, well, they've never done it before. Let me just give them the ropes. Let me just tell them how to do it and then take that frustration and struggle off of their shoulders. And we've gotten into a few arguments about it. And in the end, I have to sometimes just stay quiet and ride through my discomfort, honestly, and my anxiety. And I watch it with my friends. I watch it when we talk about, oh, who's helping what kid with the application? In fact, filling out some of these applications themselves. When we get the internships for them, and I think we think that for the most part, all of this is helping them have the future that we didn't have or we want for them. But I think we're navigating a space where if something were to happen to us, their bottom falls out, their foundation is gone. And that's scary to me. And I think if we are of the same generation, it's probably scary to you, right? The other concept is this concept of anti-fragility. She builds on Nassim Nicholas's Taleb's concept of anti-fragility. And I'll try to explain this messily to you. Some things break under stress and some things resist stress. And I think people often become stronger because of manageable stress. It's like muscle memory, right? It's like if you work out enough, you become stronger, but it hurts. So that's sort of building this tactile strength, this tensile strength rather. And I think that our immune system is the same. Character is the same. Leadership is the same. All of these strengthen through appropriate challenges, appropriate stressors. And I think removing every obstacle never creates a stronger character or person. Never. Never have I seen that happen. Ever. Right? And so I think that as I was mulling over some of these things to share with you so you could have your own aha moment about this, is we have shifted so much from play-based childhood to phone-based childhood. And so one of the arguments for this is that childhood dramatically changed around 2010. Yeah, I could see that, right? So children after that period spent less time outside, less face-to-face interaction, more time online, more comparison, which even as a freaking woman in my 40s makes me feel like shit sometimes. More social validation. I read this quote with, who are you having a good time for? Yourself or the people you're going to post this picture for? More performance. God, it's so performative. And I think the result just isn't simply blaming technology. It's fewer real-world opportunities to develop resistance. I watched this influencer. She visited an island her husband had grown up in and was stunned when her children, after I think a week or two, they just didn't even want their devices. They were out running with their cousins and climbing fences, and her heart was in her throat because she was scared. Oh my God, what if they get hurt? Oh my God, do you know how many times? I have so many tiny little scars and I love them. I'm not saying let your kids run out there and freaking break bones and get scars. So don't quote me on that. But I think that opportunities to develop real world resiliency is lessening. Another one is, I think independence builds confidence. Like, we are so independent and we are so confident to a fault sometimes. But one of the recurring themes I saw was that independence precedes confidence, not the other way around. And so I think children, young adults, become confident because they can successfully navigate these difficult situations. They don't feel confident first. And I think that also applies to us. But we've sometimes taken that away from them. They're not independent. They ask permission, ask questions, hesitate for things that we just rolled out and did. So let's talk about this great, the great pivot I'm going to try to navigate, my big pivot. I actually don't think our children have it easier than we did. I think they have it different. They have it differently. And I think that, let's compare some of this, right? So our generation, we worried about paying the mortgage. they're worrying about, are they ever going to own a home? And I think about this. I think about my siblings in their late 30s still navigating, can I even afford a home? Or do I need roommates or a mate or whatever, right? We feared failure. I think they fear public failure because every single mistake sometimes can live online forever. Gen X often jokes that we're so happy we grew up when there was no evidence. Damn right. I think we competed with our neighbors, our neighborhood, maybe that popular kid in high school. They compete with the entire internet. The entire internet. So while we were comparing ourselves to classmates, they're comparing themselves to influencers. And that is so hard. And I don't know that we will ever understand that, but that is their true reality. I think we have privacy. We had privacy. They have this thing that feels like permanence, like it's that data, that metadata is out there forever, right? Because every mistake sometimes is documented. And I think we begin that documentation because from the time they're born, they're in their little scale that weighs them, and we're already blasting out these pictures of our newborn, navel string and everything, with, oh, here's my kid, a whopping, you know, Apgar score of whatever, with like 10 toes and 10 fingers, and we're beginning that shitty process already. And so I just think it's different, right? I think this conversation isn't a competition, a generation of who had it harder than whom. It's just recognizing that every generation, we bring with it different challenges. And so we just need to prepare differently. So back to leadership, right? I think we know the world has changed, but what qualities still matter the most, right? It definitely isn't IQ or grades. We've seen people that don't have any of those and are making it big. And it's definitely not the perfect resume, right? So here are the qualities innately: resiliency, adaptability, emotional regulation, critical thinking, curiosity. Like every relationship is building these. And on the other side of that is this thing that we've taken away from them, which is the ability to recover. The ability to recover quickly, to have multiple solutions that don't necessarily feel comfortable, but I'm going to try it anyway. They sometimes feel risky and uncertain. And then I think these are leadership skills that don't only serve us in corporate, if you will, or if you're an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, or whatever, they serve us in life. And that's where I think some of this tension is, where we are recognizing that maybe we don't feel they have that the way that we do. And it's creating this, honestly, it's stemming from fear. So when you raise your voice, when you poke back, when they want to do some degree or pursue some initiative that you don't feel comfortable with yourself, you poke holes in it for them. And I think that really dovetails into them maybe not sharing more with you, losing that confidence, having the inability to maybe pursue their crazy version of their dream, right? So signs, how do you know if you're doing this? Look, man, we're all freaking doing it, but I'm just going to walk the dog here, right? Signs we may be overprotecting. I am 100% guilty of many of these. Not all of them, but many. Solve problems too quickly for them. Rescue before they struggle. Remove every single freaking inconvenience. Oh my gosh, yeah, that one. Negotiate every disappointment. A lot of times confuse discomfort with danger. Mistake confidence for resiliency. Celebrate, I think, self-esteem over actual competence. And here's the big one, because this is the one that burned all of us. We want to protect them from failure instead of teaching them how to recover from it. This is the one that's really hard, right? Because the world has changed. And I think with the advent of some of the things that our generation is struggling to grapple with, and they are embracing AI, all of the things, they're inability to move beyond what that's going to do to them also, their underlying foundation has to be not only questioned, but also thoughtfully, we need to listen more and figure out solutions together. So what are some consequences for this generation? You know, we see it already, and I think it's dressed up for the most part as dismissiveness or anxiety or mom, dad, you just don't understand, right? So I think they fear discomfort. And so anything unfamiliar feels wrong. And so therefore, I'm not going to do it. And so there's that hesitancy that kills us because our generation just freaking dives in and we'll figure it out. I think there's the other thing that as a consequence is struggling with delayed gratification. So everything feels immediate and life doesn't happen like that sometimes. You know, you don't bring a plan in and then frick, magically it happens. There's adjustments and risk and like, let's figure it out. And there's progressive elaboration. There's all of these like things that we innately know because we have lived experience that we're not allowing them to get. I think confidence is a big one that I have observed that's being outsourced, whether it's likes or validation or external approval instead of earning. I did that myself of my own merit, and it was hard and gross and yucky. But here I am on the other side of that. And so you see their confidence rising and falling, frick, even ours, with how many followers do I have? Who's watched this? What are they saying about me? And like I said, our comparison was probably the neighborhood or our company or a couple of friends or whatever. Now it's like the world has the permission to weigh in on decisions and chances that they are taking. And a lot of us, I don't personally feel we respect enough how hard that must be, but it is their normal. And so I, for one, am trying to grapple with how do I work around that? I think this one leans into what I just talked about avoiding risk is if I avoid risk, you avoid failure, which means you avoid growth because the only way you can grow is to honestly fuck it up a little bit, mess it up a little bit and see what happens on the other side because you're forced to think differently. You're forced to ask better questions. You're forced to maybe go talk to somebody that you've seen who's done it better, right? And I think we, our generation that has to watch this without actually understanding the driving forces behind it because we're too busy sometimes or too capable, is that we are still carrying the responsibilities of this generation to some extent that when we were their age belonged to us as adults. That was a mouthful, so sit with that a little bit. The things we think they're supposed to be doing because we were doing it at their age as adults, they're still to some extent not doing it and we are doing it for them. And that feels gross. And so that's not something I think they want, but I don't know that they know how to get out of it and we don't know how to meet them where they are. So here's some of the plot twist, right? The plot twist is this episode really isn't about our children or just next generation or anything. It's about us. Because I think if we're honest that we are still really, really okay with rescuing all the people in our lives, whether it's employees or friends or spouses or parents or adult children, I think the helping is maybe to some extent still controlling because we have to control our environment in order for everybody and everything to feel safe and for it to work. And I think sometimes that love, that, you know, irreplaceable love we have for them is really interference. Do you think, you know, I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast, but whatever. I heard, I won't say who told me. That's a tea you're not going to get. That somebody's 24-year-old kid got a new apartment with the boyfriend. The dad didn't know. They're still hiding it. Since a Caribbean parenthood, right? And the dad asked the kid, it's not even a kid, this is a grown-ass person. I got married at 25. Asked the 24-year-old daughter, is it okay if he came to the house to install cameras? And she's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, for your safety, cameras. And she's like, well, I mean, I want one at my front door, back door, whatever, but who would like, he's like, oh, I can set it up through my account, which means this fool would have access to the cameras. And I was like, ew. But what I'm saying is love is interference. It's overprotection. It's frankly, get out of my face, right? And I think that protection is just because some kids will embrace that because you always have a fallback plan. You always have a safety net. It really delays their growth, right? So what are some strategies? You know, I never drop the sky on you and then get you all worked up. And then I'm like, okay, have a good life. I sort of like to give you and myself, frankly, a couple of strategies, right? I think that we want to replace rescuing people, rescuing them whether it's they get fired from a job because they were on their damn phone scrolling or whatever, and we're like, no, I'll just get you another job. That wasn't the problem, Fred. The problem was boundaries. You can't be on your phone at your job. Somebody checked me out day before yesterday at a department store and didn't say one word to me because they were on their Bluetooth having a full conversation with argument, really, with somebody else. And I honestly didn't care because a part of me comes to expect that from that generation. Like, they're just clocked out. I'm just a transaction. But our generation was the customers in front of you, make eye contact, like have a warm moment. Like, so I guess what I'm getting at is instead of rescuing, we have to sort of step into the role of not maybe parenting so much, but maybe coaching or advising or mentorship or partnering. So instead of asking, what do you think? Instead of answering, really, maybe we ask, what do you think? Or what questions do you see? Or what feels good? Or whatever. Because as leaders, right, this podcast is for leaders, how we lead in our life and in the world. We coach. We don't constantly rescue, or else they're never going to learn anything. It's kind of like taking on an employee and never teaching them the ropes. And then you're like, well, how didn't you get it right, Bob? And so you're mad with them and you get resentful and stupid and you're like, you're the problem. You really, really are the problem. There's this funny anecdote that I probably talked about way, a couple of years ago, whatever. But it's this concept that when you're the problem, it's like if you have a smudge on your face, right? There's a big smudge on your cheek and you're looking in the mirror and you see the smudge and you're like, oh shit, I got to clean that off. So you buy all of the cleaning products, you buy all of the things, you look towards the experts and you start cleaning the glass and talking to the glass. But you're the problem. You are the problem. And so I think that let's replace rescuing and bossing them with maybe coaching. Another one is let them carry the appropriate weight. Again, confidence isn't inherited, it's earned. And so I think people trust themselves because they've survived themselves. We've survived our own mess ups, right? Let's normalize failure. I think dinner conversations, and my husband had this conversation with, he had a meetup with like a men's group where they just talk about things going on in their lives. And one of the things he said was, let's ask better questions at dinner time instead of how was your day or what class or what, you know, what did you achieve today? Like, instead of that, it should become maybe what did you learn or what challenged you or what mistake do you think made you better or what was funny to you? I think that is such an insight and a beautiful way to connect with, honestly, not only the next generation, but people, that it's such a tactile thing, right? The other one is really teaching this concept of stewardship instead of entitlement. And that's going to land harsh with some people, could care less. I think when we think about the entitlement factor, we've given them things that they didn't have to earn. I once, and I don't know if this is a myth, but I heard a story about this kid in New York, this young adult that sued his parents because he couldn't keep up with the lifestyle that they had gotten him accustomed to. And I was aghast, but also very amused because I could see it. And I think stewardship in your life has to encompass for our children and ourselves many, many, many different facets, not just money and titles. Our relationships, our health, our influence, opportunity, right? Nothing is ever owed to us. How do we steward those things into our life? Reciprocity, right? I think we need to also model the life we want them to build. And kids are never going to become what we tell them. They're going to become what they repeatedly observe from us. If we never rest, they won't. If we never apologize, they probably won't. If we never take risks. And so if we never reinvent ourselves or reparent ourselves or all of those things, they're just going to be stuck with this version of us that doesn't serve them where they are. So all that to say, I don't think the greatest gift we can give our children is certainty and security and perfection, and it will all work out and I'm going to make it better for you. I think it's them continuing to see us grow. You know, imagine your 25-year-old watching you start a business at 50 or learn another language or going back to school. Like, I no shame in my game. I almost drowned when I was about 11 or 12. And it was in Trinidad. We were in this beach. It was called Mayaro Beach, which had like massive waves. And one of the things they taught us is if the wave is too big and you can't jump over it, like just hold your nose and duck under. And I had done that a couple of times and waves just kept coming, lost my footing. And I was rolling. I remember swallowing all this water and then a little bit of a blackout. I don't actually even know if my parents know this. And one of my cousins, dragged me out. And yeah, she pretty much saved my life. Her name's Trisha. And I've had a fear of going under the water ever since. So we have a pool. I live in Florida. And I can swim my pool, but not the ocean, which I love. I love the ocean, obsessed. So I actually bought a swim class package 2 weeks ago. I'm going to learn to get a professional to teach me because that is something I want my children to see me doing. You know, and so I think that nobody had to give me permission to do that. But I think we also have to teach them that, yeah, I am in my late 40s and still have this fear. And I'm still going to go try it. And that's what I want to model for them. And so what version of that in your life exists, right? So maybe every generation, maybe we're asking the wrong questions. You know, maybe it's not how do I help my child survive or how do I help my child succeed? Or maybe the question becomes how do I help my child become? Whether it's becoming resilient or becoming kind or becoming disciplined or becoming grateful or becoming courageous or having confidence. Like how do we do those things in light of what I've just shared as some of their real world, real lived challenges? Because someone I think who knows, as we do, how to handle life, because we practiced at life, we didn't just observe other people living life behind the camera. Is the goal of parenting really isn't to remove every obstacle. The goal of leading our people isn't necessarily to remove all of the obstacles. It really is to raise adults, and if it's your company, to raise a company, to raise your employees to the caliber where they can walk confidently and securely and surely in the vision and mission that ideally you hope for them. And so our job isn't to remove every single obstacle out of their path, not at all. I think it's just to walk beside them long enough so that, you know, one day they're going to look back and think, oh shit, I'm walking on my own. And that's where I'll leave you. So we've already done the quo and it's time to go beyond and catch you next week. Bye.